From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. He's going. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. It's TGIF. Yes, thank God it's Friday. This week has certainly flown by. The weekend is near. Hope you all are listening. Out there, so thank you for tuning in to Current Sports right now. I'm your host, Al Martin, and we have another great show for you all today. Max Scherzer is still Mr. Perfection after last night's win over the Rays. Wayne State University decides to honor a broadcasting legend in LeBron James, and Miami Heat get beat by the wily old veterans. We'll also bring you a very special segment at the top of the hour. Keep your radios locked right here. Current Sports starts now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, before we kick off the show, a big thanks goes out to all of you out there who have been tuning into your radios, listening faithfully day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. So to start off today's show, we talk about a sport that not many people know about. Now, you may have one day just been flipping through channels on ESPN or something like that and come across it, but it's a sport that doesn't get a lot of publicity. Well, on Current Sports, we cover it all. What is it, you ask? CrossFit. Yes, CrossFit is a mix of aerobic exercise, gymnastics, weightlifting. I mean, I could go on and on. Now, you have to really be in shape to participate in this thing. You have to really, really be in shape, I should say, to participate in this thing. Well, people, there's also a little something called the CrossFit Games. Now, they've been going on since the summer of 2007. And Joshua and Kelsey Miller, husband and wife, they have been doing CrossFit training for years. Now, Joshua actually has a gym in Lansing by the name of CrossFit Shift. And his wife, well, she is just a CrossFit animal. In fact, she's so good that she will be heading to the CrossFit regional competition this week. Actually, right now. Now, I sat with them to pick their brains about this tough, enduring sport. But first, what in the world is CrossFit?
CrossFit is a fitness program where we kind of derive our fitness from what we call constantly varied high-intensity functional movements. So we take movements that can be associated with anything kind of in the outside world, from powerlifting to gymnastics and so on. And then we create a workout in many different variations. You'll never repeat the same workout. And then we try to do those workouts at high intensity, which is typically kind of going as fast as we can, or lifting as much weight as we can, or kind of combining all the pieces of fitness into one.
So is this kind of like, I've flipped on ESPN and seen the world's strongest man and strongest woman competition. Is it kind of like that? And how does it differ from that, anything?
Yeah, it differs where if you take strongman or those competitions where they're very sport specific, where they're only focusing on strength. In CrossFit, we have a focus on strength, but we also need to be adequate in our endurance, our running, our gymnastics. We have tons of different gymnastic pieces where you have to be capable of doing pull-ups and push-ups and muscle-ups on gymnastic rings and all sorts of different things. So CrossFit is bred on, being ready for anything, and that we are good at every type of movement or anything you can kind of throw at us without lacking in any area.
Wow, so I got to ask you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Joshua Miller, the head trainer at CrossFit Shift, and Kelsey Miller will be heading to the CrossFit Regionals on June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Kelsey, how in the world did you get involved with CrossFit?
Well, because my husband here, Josh Miller, nice. I got married to him, and then him and his brothers are so involved in CrossFit, and it's, you know, I've always been an athletic person, and so I just, you know, sort of joined and then really just got into it this past year, getting involved into, like, when they opened up the new box, getting involved with the whole community in the box has really got me excited about it and wanting to compete in it.
Right, so you got involved due to Josh. Now, Josh, yeah. Okay, I got. Let's go to the root of this thing then. How did you get involved with CrossFit?
It actually started with Mel's brother. He's a firefighter for Lansing, and he started doing it as kind of his part of his regimen, and just kind of roped me and my twin brother into it. And we started in our garage, and typically CrossFit starts in a garage where you kind of get a group of guys and you get, you know, pieces of equipment here and there. Mm-hmm. And so we started out with that. There was five of us total, and from there just kind of grew in the idea that we started getting more people to join us, and so eventually got affiliated, which is you get affiliated with CrossFit to open up a CrossFit box and establish your name. So we did that and opened, and yeah, just been going with it ever since. So,
wow, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift, and Kelsey Miller. She's heading to the CrossFit Regionals. And if you hear the little chatter in the background, Kelsey actually has her nephews here. They are just some cute little guys, I tell you. But all right, man. So you're heading to CrossFit Regionals. First off, are you a little nervous? This is big now, right? This is big time.
Yeah, I'm nervous, but I'm really excited, actually. It's going to be an awesome experience. And, I mean, it's just going to go and have fun. I'm going to, you know, go and work hard, beat myself to the ground, and then get back up and do it again.
So how does the competition work? Is it one-on-one? Is it, I'm trying to figure out how the scoring system works. How does all of this work to be able to get to this point?
Well, they have what's called the CrossFit Open, which started in May or April. And it went across 5 weeks. And each week, it's an online thing. So you signed up online, pay $20 around the whole entire world. Everybody does it who wants to do it.
Wow.
And they
I can do this?
Yes, you could.
I'm not nowhere near above as you guys, but I'm going to try it one day. All right.
many people have done it. So you sign up, and on Wednesday of the week, they post the workout, and then you have until Sunday night to post your time, and you're ranked among the whole entire world within your region, and if you get top 48 in your region, then you qualify for regionals. And
wow.
So that's how.
So you're, you just said it, you're in the top 48 of your region.
Right.
Well, what is your region?
Central East.
Central East. So what states do that consist of?
I believe it's Michigan, Ohio. Basically all Kentucky and Tennessee.
I'm not 100% in all the states, but
yeah, right.
And you're top 48.
Yes.
Well, how humbling is that when you think about this? You're heading, you're one of the 48 individuals going to CrossFit Regionals out of your region. How humbling is that, Kelsey, for you when you think about that?
It's very humble. Well, I didn't even think I could get that far when I signed up for the Open. I was just hoping to get in the top 100. I wasn't even thinking about regionals at first, and then just getting to regionals by the skin of my teeth, like, I basically did. It's just cool. It's going to be, like you said, definitely humbling going there, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, more fit girls than me, so they'll definitely push me beyond my limits. And
ladies and gents, we're talking with Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift, and Kelsey Miller, who is heading to the CrossFit regionals. I got to ask you guys now, like you said, I looked on TV doing some research about CrossFit. And as you said, Josh, you talked about how it's kind of similar to the World's Strongest Man competition. So talk about how important it is to be fit. And what are you go to a training day with Kelsey, for instance.
Okay, yeah.
Describe an average day with her training in the gym.
Okay. Yeah. So right now it's typically a little different, as we're heading to regionals. She'll actually be competing in six different workouts total, two a day. Essentially leading up to that, we have to increase her volume, which is we do more workouts a day than we typically do.
Mm-hmm.
But on a normal day throughout the year, we do one workout a day. We run classes at CrossFit Shift where they're 1-hour classes. And she'd come in, warm up with the class, and she's with 50, 60-year-olds on down to 18, 20. So she works out with all different ages. But, you know, she comes in, warm up, and the workouts from day to day are different. So we could go from doing a weightlifting movement with gymnastics or just a straight strength day where we're just doing nothing but weightlifting to a running workout to just CrossFit incorporates so many different things.
Right.
So, yeah, we're just constantly changing that up, and that's that constantly varied part of CrossFit. But, yeah, so, and then now heading into regionals, we've been having her do 2-3 workouts a day. Really, we know what the workouts are, and they released them not too long ago. But so we're trying to focus our attention on those movements and getting better at those movements and being technically sound at those as well.
So what are those workouts?
The first workout, and actually the way CrossFit works is a lot of the workouts are named after girls. And that's
really?
A funny little thing, yeah. So the first workout's called Jackie, and that's
that's cute.
Yeah, and so there's tons of different girls' names, yeah, and we have, you know, getting into different names and stuff, but Jackie is a 1,000-meter row, and then she performs 50 thrusters at 45 pounds with just a barbell, and that's a, if you imagine the bar on the shoulder, you do a full squat and then pressed overhead.
Okay, and that's called a thruster.
Thruster, mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Okay, and take notes, people, if you want to.
Yeah, and CrossFit actually established that movement. And and that's a very demanding move, but we go 1,000-meter row, 50 thrusters, and then 30 pull-ups, and that's for time.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, you're going to try to do that as fast as you possibly can. From there, she'll have a 4-hour break, I believe, and then go into her second workout, which is it's 7 minutes to try to establish a 3-rep max overhead squat. So she actually has to take the bar from the floor to her shoulder and transfer it from her shoulder to her back. And then she has to do what's called a split jerk up in the air. And then finally, it's complicating, yeah. And then finally, she has to try to perform 3 overhead squats. And so she has to start at a certain weight, and then every time she successfully makes a lift, she adds more weight. And she has to try to get as high as she can in 7 minutes. And then this workout, there's 7 minutes, and then she takes a 2-minute break and then goes into 30 burpee muscle-ups, which is a burpee.
A burping muscle-up.
Yes, where you drop to the ground to your chest. You have to jump yourself back up, and then you have gymnastic rings above you where she'll pull herself up basically up on top of the rings. Very, very skilled gymnastic movement in CrossFit.
Gotcha.
And that kind of sums up the first day. And then the second day, we get into 2 workouts. The first one's called the hundreds, which is probably one of the hardest workouts that CrossFit's ever had at the regionals. But she does 100 wall balls, which is a 20-pound medicine ball, and she has to throw it up at a 10-foot target. And she has to hit the target every time, and then she has to do a full squat before she throws it back up. And then she has to do 100 chest-to-bar pull-ups, which is a pull-up where below your collarbone has to make contact with the bar.
Wow.
And then she goes into 100 pistols, which is a one-legged squat, and they have to alternate. So you go one-legged squat in your right leg, then left leg, then right leg, and so on until 100. And then it's 100 dumbbell snatches, where she takes a 50-pound dumbbell and has to take it from the ground overhead in one motion. So that's the first workout. And then the of that day, so this is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second workout is a 21-15-9, which is a really common workout in CrossFit. But she has to do a 205-pound deadlift 21 times. And then she has to jump up on a 24-inch box 21 times. 15 deadlifts, 15 box jumps, 9, then 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. I'm getting tired listening to all
this. Yeah, and she does that for time. And that's actually 205 pounds is a relatively heavy weight for a lot of CrossFit girls. So that one's going to be a good workout.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last day going into Sunday, you know, if those 2 days weren't bad enough.
I know, right?
Yeah. The last day, the first workout is what's called chipper. So it's just one time through. She does 100 double unders, 50 handstand pushups, 40 toes to bars, and then takes a 100-pound axle bar. So it's a little bit thicker bar. She has to take that from her shoulder to overhead. So essentially, it starts on her shoulder, and then all she has to do is get overhead in a locked up position. That counts. So she does that 30 times, and then she has to lunge the bar on her shoulder. So it's called front rack. She lunges that 90 feet. That's the first workout. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
the first workout.
That's the first workout.
First
and then the last workout of the competition is it 3 rounds?
Four
rounds. It's a 15-foot rope climb, 100-meter sprint. She has to do a squat clean at 135 pounds, which is basically from the ground to the shoulder. And it's a complicating movement. And for anybody who knows the cleans, they'll kind of get the idea. But she has to finish in a squat, then stand up. So four squat cleans, 100-meter sprint. So that's one round, and she has to do that four times. And that'll end the competition there.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm tired just hearing all of that. Legend, we're talking with Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift. CrossFit Shift, now that's in Lansing, right, Josh?
Yes, yep, West Lansing.
Oh, in West Lansing. And Kelsey Miller, their husband and wife, and Kelsey is heading to CrossFit Regionals on June 7th, 8th, and 9th. We are also joined by Kelsey's adorable little nephews in here playing with their toy planes and everything. Got to ask you guys now, what do you guys eat? Because that's a big thing with me. I eat a lot of garbage. I just ate some McDonald's, and I'm out of breath right now just listening to all of that. I mean, what do you guys eat to prepare for this whole thing?
We ate what's called the paleo diet.
Paleo diet.
Paleo diet. It's basically what would a caveman eat, which is fruits, nuts, vegetables, seeds, meat, little starch, and no sugar.
Wow.
Although we're not perfect paleo eaters, we eat pizza and candy a time or two, but
we have what's called cheat nights.
Yeah, cheat
nights. Okay, cheat. How many cheat nights are you allowed?
Usually Saturdays are cheat nights.
Yeah,
we'll Saturdays. Do one night typically, and then every now and again, you know, if there's something going on in the week, then we're not the kind of people that turn down an event just because of our eating habits.
So. Right. Wow. So Monday through Sunday, with the exception of cheat nights on Saturday. You guys are eating, was it paleo?
Paleo,
yeah, yep. Paleo diet. Just go through that one more. If you guys are listening, write this down to get healthy. Go ahead, Kelsey, one more time.
It's fruit, nuts, seeds, vegetables, meat, little starch, and no sugar. So it's, you know, any kind of meat, your eggs, fruit and veggies are all your carbs, and then your fats are your nuts and your seeds.
Mm-hmm. So, Kelsey, what did you have? What are you eating today? What did you eat for breakfast? What are you eating for lunch? What are you eating
every day for breakfast? I eat 2 eggs and 3 pieces of bacon with some kind of fruit, probably apple or cantaloupe or rutabaga. Or sweet potatoes. And then for lunch, I had roast beef with a beet and asparagus salad with my homemade dressing. And I had my protein shake. I guess I counted that as my meal, too, after my workout. That's not exactly paleo, but
it's not 100% because of whey protein, which we won't get in that.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
It's complicating sometimes explaining it. There's little things here and there.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right. Ladies and gents, we're talking with Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift, and Kelsey Miller, their husband and wife. Kelsey is heading to CrossFit Regionals out in Columbus, Ohio, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Now, guys, looking at all this is mind-boggling. I mean, Kelsey's heading there. Kelsey, you seem very confident heading into this thing. Maybe a little nerve. Maybe some nerves are there a little bit. When you go to this competition, and when you look back at what you've done, if you go on or not, what are you going to be the most proud of yourself about when you look at this whole thing?
Just being there is great enough. You know, I have come a long way from last year because I competed in the Open last year and placed 299th place in my region, and to get in the top 48 to qualify for regionals is huge. So just being there at regionals to compete is just amazing enough in itself.
So anyone listening out there, if they want to get involved with CrossFit, how can they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, they can go to crossfitshift.com from there, you know, email us or call us. We have our number and email right on there. From there, you know, this is a program. We have people from, we actually run a CrossFit kids program. So we have a kids program that goes from right now 5 to 18 years old. And then, from there we get into our regular classes, which we have from 18, and I think our oldest right now is 60. Mm-hmm. So, and majority of our clientele is in their 40s and 50s. But so from there, you know, you'd contact us, come in, try a workout out. And then we actually run on the first of every month what's called a foundations class. Mm-hmm. And what that is it slowly introduces the concepts, the movements, you know, why we do what we do, why it works so well. We talk about, you know, basic nutrition and taking care of yourself and different things. And so that's kind of our starting point for everybody who comes in to try.
So anyone who wants to get involved with CrossFit, they can just get in touch with you. You work at CrossFit Shift. And, and Kelsey, you're going to regionals. All the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Looking at this thing, it's pretty impressive. And then we're also joined by Kelsey's two adorable nephews in here, if you heard them in the background. Unbelievable. So for you, Kelsey, I got to ask this also. What is the biggest challenge for you in this sport?
The mental. I think the mental aspect of it. Going into a workout is very mental. You get to a point in the workout where you are just so tired and you want to, you give up. But you gotta have to push through it, and you have to have that mental capacity that even though that, you know, you are kind of hurting, in order to get better, you gotta push through it. So seeing that heavy weight in a workout and knowing that it's heavy is hard to, you know, pick up the weight and just do it. So it's, I think being mentally prepared is probably the hardest part.
It definitely got me, because this is in all realism looking at this. This is an individual type sport. I mean, you have no teammates. You're just out there training on your own.
She's an individual, yeah. CrossFit also does teams.
Oh, they do teams.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they have teams there, which is separate from individuals. You have individual and teams. Teams is three guys and three girls. Mm-hmm. And the workouts are typically the same as Kelsey's individual's workouts are. Just you have to perform certain things as a team. Mm-hmm. And that gets kind of fun and exciting. Teams a little bit more different, where you can kind of celebrate with the team, where individuals, you know, if anybody ever, what sports are individual, you know?
Like track and field.
Yeah, like that, yeah, where it's, you know,
tennis.
Things of that nature, where the team's a little bit more, again, team. So
right, exactly. So guys, I mean, when you look at this sport, look at CrossFit, is it getting more popular? Are more people starting to gravitate towards it?
Yeah. It is. Right now, it's kind of kind of coming out of its shell in the last few years here, and it's starting to become a very common training program for not only military, fire, and police. Kind of the idea of you're battle ready, more or less. So in all those jobs, you kind of never know what's going to be asked of you. So being, you know, and CrossFit does what's called GPP, which is general physical preparedness. You're prepared for anything. So, and that's become more popular, but also among sports. We've worked with a softball team, a couple of football teams now, and not only just high school levels, but NFL teams are picking it up, different professional sports are picking up, and so it's starting to become, in those areas, just a kind of groundbreaking workout program. So, and it really helps with sports, just the overall fitness you get out of it. So yeah, it's been growing a lot in the last few years.
Wow. So Kelsey, we're talking Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift. Kelsey Miller, husband and wife. Kelsey is heading to CrossFit Regionals on June 7th, 8th, and 9th. One last thing, guys. Again, just to reiterate it, for those who want to get involved with CrossFit, how can they do it? How can they get in touch with you guys again?
Yeah, CrossFitShift.com. From there, you can contact, we have a phone number on there and email. Give us a call, send us an email, and we'll get you started from there.
Well, there. Free workout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First workout's free.
Yeah, first workout is free. So I can come in here and get a free workout.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep, kind of see what it's about, see what our training's like, and see what we're all about first before, you know, you dive in. So
Nice. Well, there you have it. Joshua Miller, head trainer at CrossFit Shift. Kelsey Miller, she's heading to CrossFit Regionals. I mean, you should see her, guys. I mean, she's buffer than me right now. I'm not that big, but she's just cut. All right. June 7th, 8th, and 9th are regionals for her. I'm Al Martin, and this is Current Sports. And also, got to put this in there, Joshua and Kelsey are actually at the regionals right now as we speak. Kelsey is trying to qualify for the CrossFit Games held on July 22nd through the 28th. Current Sports will definitely keep you updated on her journey. Now, when we return to Current Sports, we'll dive into our Current Sports section of the show. I want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 1:40 p.m. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear your thoughts. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is next.
Captivated by my own, I'll be in the zone. Microphone check. If your doctor scans your genome and finds disturbing mutations, do you have the right not to know? Does she have an obligation to tell you? I'm Ira Flatto. Join me on Science Friday as we look ahead to hard choices affecting you and your kids. Plus, building tornado-proof homes. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We want to remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 140 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You want to hear what's on your mind? Let's dive right into today's topics because we have a lot to cover. First off, we'll start with the Tigers. Detroit Tigers pitcher Max Scherzer. The man remains unbeaten on the season at an impressive 8-0. Scherzer has been in his zone. He only allowed one run and four hits yesterday. He also struck out 9 in 7 innings. Now check out this. Opponents are only hitting a mere 185 off Scherzer. He is right now the best pitcher on the team, in my opinion. Yes, better than Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, of course, throughout the season has been a little inconsistent and kind of a funk. The Tigers topped the Rays, though, yesterday 5-2, winning the series 2-1. Miguel Cabrera, just another day at the office for him, 3 hits, and also had his major league leading 66th RBI of the season. So Miguel Cabrera continues to tear it up. Scherzer moves to 8-0. Now, after Scherzer finished up, Joaquin Benoit came in, and he allowed one run in the eighth. And then Jose Valverde, Papa Grande, pitched a perfect ninth inning to get his 7th save in 9 tries. So Valverde looking solid right now. Of course, the verdict was out on him as he came up from the minor leagues. The Tigers decided to put him back on the roster, and he has done a great job so far. Solid job. Don't want to jump the gun. Solid job at as closer for the Tigers right now. 7th save again for him in 9 tries. We'll see if he keeps it up. He does have a target on his back. So yeah, the only homer of the game came from Victor Martinez of the Tigers. We had 1 in the 4th that gave the Tigers a 2-0 lead. Tampa Bay's Roberto Hernandez, he was on the mound starting for the Rays. He allowed 4 runs in 5 1/3 innings. So Scherzer clearly had the better outing in that matchup. Now the first place Tigers in the AL Central, they lead Cleveland now by 2.5 games. Now the Tigers, you know who they play next? They actually play Cleveland next. That's right. Tonight starts the series, a 3-game series, that is. The Indians will visit Detroit starting tonight. And this will truly be a battle to see who is the best in the AL Central. Right now the Tigers looking like that team. And as I just mentioned, Justin Verlander, who's really had ups and downs all season, he will start the opener of that series tonight. Now, he has a 3.70 ERA, actually ranks 4th. That's right, 4th. I never thought I'd say that about Justin Verlander, but yes, he is ranked 4th in the Detroit Tigers rotation right now. You got Anibal Sanchez at 2.65, Scherzer at 3.24, and Doug Fister at 3.27. They're all ahead of Verlander. So we'll see if he can, you know, get his mojo back. JV. We all know when he is on his game, he is the best pitcher in baseball. Just had really some ups and downs this season. So, also Scherzer, like I said, like the man is 8-0. He hasn't been beaten yet. Here he is talking about his outing last night.
No, it's just anytime you can win a series, it's always a big thing, especially at this level. It takes a collective effort out of everybody. You know, one player can't do it, and when you win a series, it means a bunch of guys have stepped up, and that's what happened throughout the series. We've had great starting pitching, and today even the bats came alive, and we were able to make Hernandez, put together some tough ABs against them, and we're able to come with some big runs, and I feel like that really helped me out and be able to go out there and let me pitch my game. And obviously I turn over the bullpen and Benoit does well and Valverde shuts it down. So I mean, that's how you script it up.
All right, that was Max Scherzer. Again, impressive 8-0 for him. The Tigers get a 5-2 win over the Rays. They win that series 2-1. The Indians are next for them tonight. Tigers and Indians, a 3-game weekend series. All right, let's move on. Wayne State. On Thursday evening, Wayne State University announced plans for a brand new stadium facility named in honor of Detroit broadcasting legend. Detroit broadcasting legend Ernie Harwell and his wife Lula. As Ernie put it, excuse me, Lulu. That's what he used to call her. But yes, this is great. Great stuff right here. Wayne State dedicating a new, brand new stadium to the legend Ernie Harwell. The quote-unquote Harwell Field campaign continues in two phases. The first is which to seat a 500-seat facility built on the site of the current baseball field at Wayne State. The cost will be around $500,000 to it will range from $209,000 to $500,000. A lot of that has been raised over time due to donations and things of that nature and alumni. Now, Ernie Harwell, of course, he spent 55 years as a broadcaster, most notably known for his 42 years with the Detroit Tigers, an icon, a complete icon of baseball and sports for people of all ages. He passed in May of 2010. Harwell's wife, she was on hand as part of the ceremony yesterday and revealed the first of four presentations on what the new field will look like. Now, the second phase of the project, there's two phases to this. The second phase of the project, we'll see that a new athletic facility that includes administrative offices and things of that nature. It will cost an additional $750,000. So a lot of this has already been raised, like I said, through donations and alumni coming back and other sources of that nature. But really cool stuff. Really cool stuff, man. Wayne State honoring Ernie Harwell. Now, the second phase will add, 20-foot ceilings in the new stadium, the new stadium entrance. They plan to include memorabilia from his career, Ernie Harwell's career. It's designed to influence Ebbets Field of the Brooklyn Dodgers. And that's, of course, as many of you are, if you're an Ernie Harwell fan, you know that the Brooklyn Dodgers was the team that Harwell started his broadcasting career with. So, really cool stuff. I can't wait to see that thing when it's done. Okay, and Ndamukong Suh of the Detroit Lions, he was voted number 40 in the NFL Network's list of top 100 players for 2013. Now, the voting is done by current players and, the network and, of that. And they revealed yesterday, this was revealed last night, they just did numbers 31 through 40 of the top 100, and Sue is 40. So he has made the top 100 in all three seasons as a Lion. He was number 38 last year, so, he kind of bumped down two spots, but he considered 2011 to be kind of a down season for him, and he was number 51 after his rookie year. Now, two other Lions that have made the top 100 already are quarterback Matthew Stafford. He's number 76, and middle linebacker Stephen Tulloch. He is number 63. Now, of course, we all know who should be, in my opinion, in the top 10, Calvin Johnson, wide receiver for the Lions. Of course, breaking that single-season receiving record that was once held by the great Jerry Rice. Calvin Johnson, I will predict, if it was me, I think he'll be in that top five range. That's just me, though. So we'll see how this continues. Like I said, NFL Network is slowly revealing. Like I said, last night it did numbers 31 through 40, and they'll continue to do that as the days pass. So Ndamukong Suh is number 40 on that list. All right, David Garner, Michigan State pitcher. He could possibly be drafted in this year's MLB's first-year player draft. Now, the draft is taking place right now as we speak. It actually started at about an hour ago at 12:30 p.m. Well, that's not the official start. It actually started I believe yesterday. Yeah, Thursday night was when it really kicked off. But it's going on right now. And Garner could be taken in the MLB draft. And he said that it's one of those things that, you know, it kind of can build a little stress on where is he going to be, you know, if he gets drafted and whatnot. So Garner, it's kind of interesting. He wants to go to the zoo to get his mind off things. So I believe David Garner is at the zoo looking at, you know, zebras, tigers, bears, and elephants and whatnot, just to keep his mind off things. That's kind of fun. He said it was between the zoo and playing golf. I guess he chose the zoo. So I think he's looking at animals and whatnot right now. But that's pretty cool. There's a strong chance, though, that the MSU junior right-hander, he will be drafted in the first 10 rounds of the MLB draft and could pursue a pro career a year early. He's a junior right now. Now, he's ranked 248 in Baseball America's final pre-draft rankings, which were released hours before yesterday's first round. So, but this is not the first time that Garner has been drafted, or could be drafted, I should say. And he was actually drafted coming right out of high school in the 33rd round. That's a lot of rounds in baseball, man. But anyway, the 33rd round of the 2010 MLB draft by the Cincinnati Reds. So he was drafted, but he decided to turn down the offer from the Reds. And he also had a football scholarship from Central Michigan University. He turned down that to sign with the Spartan baseball program. And he's really become a valuable member of MSU staff. So we'll see where he gets drafted and if he'll make that move. He's out looking at Lions, Tigers, and Bears right now at the zoo. But congrats to David if he does get drafted. All right, as we move on.
Parker on the screen now. Bosch has him. Parker on the drive. Nearly lost it. Still dribbling. Parker with two to shoot. Just gets it off in time. And he banks it in. What a shot from Parker. Gets off his feet and puts San Antonio up four. Now they'll review it to make sure that Parker got it off before the shot clock expired. It was very, very close.
Yes, for those of you who tuned into Game 1 of the NBA Finals, the San Antonio Spurs take a 1-0 lead over the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals with a 92-88 win over the Heat last night. And as you just heard, Tony Parker. I mean, as this game really, really progressed, there was a time where it was about, I believe, like 50. I can't remember how much time was on the clock. But anyway, Parker had the ball, he was dribbling just crazy, just trying to keep his dribble. It was amazing to watch Tony Parker keep his dribble in this sequence. And he kept his dribble, and he pump fakes. He rolls under LeBron James, contesting the shot, and hits an unbelievable bank shot that he just got off in the nick of time. That really sealed the deal for the Spurs last night. I mean, Tony Parker was just unbelievable. When he hit that shot, that gave him 21 points. The referees reviewed it. I mean, it was unbelievable. It actually gave San Antonio a 4-point edge, and it really put it out of reach for the Miami Heat to do anything. So, man, Tony Parker, it's something special watching him play. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, just not even on that play, just facilitating the game. I mean, he knew where guys were before they were even there. I mean, he was hitting shots left and right, getting his teammates involved. I mean, just the ultimate point guard. He played the ultimate point guard role last night. Looking at other guys on the team, Tim Duncan, he had a slow start, but he finished with 20 points and 14 rebounds. And, man, it was something else. So I keep going back to that shot. I keep playing that shot in my head. I couldn't believe that Tony Parker got that off. It was a desperation jumper on a broken play. I'm getting his 5.2 seconds left, and he hit that. So LeBron James, triple-double, 18 points, 18 rebounds, 10 assists. He did all he could. But Dwayne Wade, he looked good throughout the game, but in the fourth quarter, he had a donut. That's right, no points for him. He ended up with 17 points. But you got to give credit to Manu Ginobili, who I thought played great defense on Dwayne Wade in that final quarter. I think Dwayne only took two shots, missed them both. Ginobili was right there in his grill. So you got to give Manu Ginobili his credit. And Ginobili for the Spurs, he had a big three. And now he's combined for Manu Ginobili, he had a huge three down the stretch for them in the fourth quarter. And when you look at the Spurs team, what it really amazes me is that this is an old veteran team going against the Miami Heat, who are young and spry. I mean, you guys got to talk about big names like LeBron James, of course, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, and when you look at those guys, and you look at the Spurs, who have I don't know how they've done it. They must be drinking some special stuff or something. I don't know, but they year after year after year are right there in the playoffs, competing every year for a possible championship. And you got to give a lot of credit to Greg Popovich, who's done an unbelievable job. They are the most disciplined team you'll ever find in the game of basketball. And it's special. It's something special. So right now, the Spurs take a 1-0 lead. I'm still sticking with this now, even though that was an unbelievable game. The Spurs, you know, pulled it out in the last minute. It's really a quote-unquote lucky shot from Tony Parker. Here's actually Tony on the shot.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Obviously, a lot of NBA teams, they put bigger guys on me. So I just have to keep playing my game and trust my teammates. The whole game, they were trapping me, trapping pick and rolls. So I was just trying to be patient, talked a lot with Pop before the game and watch film and make sure, you know, I don't try to force anything. And I think the key for me in this series is be patient and choose my moments, when to be aggressive. And in the fourth quarter, try to be more aggressive, obviously, because that's money time. But you know, if LeBron is on me, I just have to try to keep playing the same way and pick a roles. You know, I have to trust everybody. We're a team. We play as a team, and everybody has to contribute.
And Tony Parker does an unbelievable job with those pick and rolls. But anyway, so the Spurs now take a 1-0 lead, a game lead over the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. I'm still sticking with the Heat in 6, maybe 7. I think this is going to be a back-and-forth series. You best believe the Heat are going to come correct in that next game. All right. David Stern and flopping. That's right, NBA Commissioner David Stern wants to extend the NBA's flopping rule because he believes that just giving players fines just isn't enough.
It isn't enough. You're not going to cause somebody to stop it for $5,000 when the average player salary is $5.5 million, and anyone who ever thought that was going to happen was allowing hope to prevail over reason. But you take a step and you begin to see it. And I think the cause was not so much mine as it was our fans, who are would like not to see that policy.
Having seen it in action now for 1 year plus playoffs, do you think that you now have enough data, the league has enough data to kind of go whatever that next step may be for next season?
Yes, I think we do. I think we have the data. I don't know if we have the stomach.
Well, yeah, as you heard, David Stern trying to extend the NBA's flopping rule because he believes that just giving players fines isn't enough, and the issue will be taken up at the NBA's competition committee. That is scheduled for next week in San Antonio. Now, this season, the league instituted a system that, you know, it fined players for flopping after video review. But only 5 players were fined, and that's a measly $5,000 in the regular season. And 7 more have been fined that amount in the playoffs. Now, $5,000, when you compare it to some of these guys' salaries, I mean, $5,000 can be like a dollar. That's not even making a dent in their salary. So, I mean, it's just going to continue if they keep this around. Now, in addition to flopping, Stern said the committee will review the referee's replay procedure. That's right. They could include moving all replay decisions to a centralized location where an offsite official would make quicker decisions and more informed decisions on the ruling. Now, this system is currently in the NHL. The NBA is looking to move on that. All right, Blackhawks and Kings, the Chicago Blackhawks in the LA Kings 15-game home winning streak last night with a 3-2 win. That series is now 3-1 in favor of the Blackhawks. Marian Hossa scored the tie-breaking goal early in the third period. Now, for the Blackhawks, Corey Crawford, 19 saves. Patrick Kane, he tapped in the tying goal as Chicago rallied from a second period deficit to beat the Kings. So, in Los Angeles, I mean, that streak is incredible. 15 games at home. Unbelievable. But Chicago ends that now. Los Angeles hadn't lost in its rink since March 23rd, including 8 playoff games. So the Kings, something that's really put a dent in their play is their center, Mike Richards, who had an apparent concussion after a big hit from Chicago's Dave Bolin in the series opener. Now, Richards was the Kings' leading postseason scorer with 10 points before he got hurt. So But if you look at this game, the Kings did open game four with a lot of urgency. They came out with a lot of energy, but they weren't able to get it done down the stretch. So the Kings, they lose at home in regulation. This is just their fourth time losing at home in regulation. So game five tomorrow night in Chicago, 3-2 win. Chicago takes that. Now it's a 3-1 series. Chicago looking to close things out in Chicago tomorrow. French Open update. Rafael Nadal will be heading to his fourth straight French Open final after defeating Novak Djokovic in an epic five-set match. Nadal and Djokovic, they traded, just trading blows back and forth, back and forth. Of course, this went to a fifth set before Nadal finally took the fifth set 9-7. It took them all the way up to 9-7 to decide this one. Now, Nadal has only lost one match in his career. In his career at the French Open. He is something else. Rafael Nadal, man, all props to you, man. He's unbelievable. So he will play the winner of Ferrer and Tsonga to try to capture his fourth straight French Open title in eighth of the last 9 years. Now, update on the women's side. Serena Williams and Venus Williams, they actually pulled out of the women's doubles, citing no reasons for it. Now, speculation has been going on and saying, you know, Venus, she has that back problem. Maybe Serena just wants to focus on her final against Maria Sharapova. Of course, Serena got there with an impressive win over Sara Errani, which only took 46 minutes. Yeah, Serena has really just been going through her competitors in this French Open. And Maria Sharapova, she advanced to the final after winning in straight sets to Victoria Azarenka. The final is tomorrow. Whew, a lot happened in sports, man. Let us hear your thoughts on any of this stuff. We have to move on to our last segment right now. We want to hear from you. 517-355-9527. A lot happening. 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports. Even tweet me a question at AlMartinWKR. We want to hear from you. What's on your mind? Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, Brian Kastner describes his worst day commanding an explosive ordnance disposal unit in Iraq, a day of multiple car bombs.
We had six in 15 minutes. Five of them detonated and one did not.
Kastner's book, The Long Walk, is now out in paperback. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. A lot happening in sports. The Miami Heat and the Tony Parker shot, which is unbelievable. Yeah, the Blackhawks and Kings last night. The French Open. Anything that's on your mind, give us a call. We will sit down and discuss it. In the meantime, it's Friday. Yeah, so you know what that means, right? It's Reflection Fridays, baby. Yes, the entire Current Sports crew sits down and reflects on their favorite sports stories of the week while also giving a look ahead to see what's on the tube this weekend. Now, we only have one of my production assistants today. Matt Lutke is here because Alex Shar, he had to go to a friend's wedding. He's not here today. But my intern, Matt is here, and my intern, Mike Corey. What's up, fellas?
Doing good, man.
Good?
Great to be here.
So let's dig
once again.
Right. It's always a fun time on Current Sports, man. So Reflection Friday is a lot happening during this week. Favorite moments. Let's start with you, Mike. Go ahead, man.
Well, I got two moments. The first one is a couple of days ago during the game three of the Western Conference Final? No, Eastern. Boston and Boston goalie, Tuukka Rask, played outstanding. Probably, like, in my opinion, the best performance from this entire playoffs. He was outstanding. He played not like over 95 minutes on the ice, only allowed one goal. He had a 98% save percentage. He was just outstanding. I haven't seen, in my opinion, we're just, me and Matt were looking at stuff. I think he's having a better performance in this playoff series than Tim Thomas did.
Wow.
Back when the Bruins last won the Stanley Cup. I really do think he's just playing outstanding. If they go all the way, it's because of him. And the other one is of Tony Parker from last night. He was just amazing, you know, just probably one of the most underrated players in the NBA. And I jokingly said, like, when I was watching it with my friends, I was like, after he scored his first back, I was like, all right, he's already wrapped up the MVP. He's already got it. And just like, and then he makes that last shot. I was like, he may actually get it if the Spurs win.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding.
He was special. I mean, watching him facilitate the game like he did last night. I mean, like you said, because the Spurs, I mean, are kind of a low-key team. They don't talk much trash. They just go out there and do work. And Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and Ginobili, they are very classy guys that don't need to do much talking. They go out there and show it with their play on the court. And that's how Tony Parker is, man. He was unbelievable last night, though. I mean, rare form, man. So I believe we have a call. Before we get to yours, Matt, we have Ray from Fort Wayne on line one. How you doing, Ray?
How you doing, guys?
Pretty good, man. What's up?
Hey, have a nice weekend. I got a couple of questions for you, one on college football, one on I've been tied up the last couple of weeks. My mom passed on, so I had to go.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
Well, that's all right. We had her 19 years more than we were supposed to. I get about $150,000 about these blessings about my mother. But they fired me down to University of Michigan for it and revoked my season ticket, so I don't like them much anymore. Mm. Who do you have? I hope Michigan State's got more talent than Michigan coming back in football. You guys, have you guys broke it down yet about college football this year?
Well, not yet because it's still early.
Yeah.
But we do know it's looking like, guys, that Andrew Maxwell is he's going to take that starting spot, I believe.
Right.
That's the talk right now. As far as the receiving core, of course, we all know. When I think about Michigan State football, I always think about all the drops last season. Mm-hmm. And they got to strengthen that receiver core if they want to be competitive this year, which I think they will do. What do you guys think on that?
Well, I mean, it can't get much worse than it was last year. I mean,
no,
any improvement from the guys we have, whether it's Burbridge or Fowler stepping up in his senior year or, you know, guys like that, they need contributions from everybody. And obviously, there's a big hole in the backfield from Le'Veon leaving. So it'll be interesting to see, hopefully not too many growing pains with the offense this season.
Yeah, they really got to take some more down-the-field shots. There were just none of nothing last season of that. Just short pass plays, and that's why we never had any production, really. And that, and they always dropped the ball too.
And yeah, they were bad, and it kind of looked like they knew it. And when you are lacking that confidence, it's hard to get things in gear. So hopefully, get a fresh start this season. New coordinators, Jim Bowman and Dave Warner. So yeah, maybe change is coming for the Spartan offense because we know the defense is going to be probably the best in the league. So.
Hopefully so. All right. On line two, we have a special guest. I thought Alex had the day off, my other production assistant, Alex Sharg. But he calls in. He is so dedicated. What's up, Alex?
Hey, it's not even dedication. I just got to get in on the Reflection Fridays, and I want to hear your guys' opinions on something that Al totally jinxed this week, which was calling a sweep of the Detroit Tigers over the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. I mean, we'll play that next week about what Al's segment was the other day. But what I want to know from you guys is, one, the statistic that really pops out to me is the Tigers, as well as their hitting, they've been shut out six times this year. Six. That's more than the Houston Astros. The other thing about the Tigers is the inconsistency. If Johnny Peralta gets suspended for 50 games, then you have no hitting because it's already as inconsistent as it is. I mean, if you take away Johnny, how is that going to change this team?
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Well, first of all, thank you for that call. That was kind of spur of the moment with that call. I did predict that the Tigers would sweep the Rays and win the series anyway. Matt, did you predict that they would lose
that
series?
they would lose. Yeah,
so, and Alex did too, I believe. So
for the Tigers race series,
yeah.
Me and Alex both predicted that the Tigers will win the series 2-1. And Matt predicted Rays 2-1, and you predicted a sweep.
I predicted a sweep, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you get one point for that.
Picking baseball is like...
yeah, it's tough.
Just close your eyes and roll the dice. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Well, going back to Alex's point, I mean, that if this whole Peralta and this whole Biogenesis PED scandal, I mean, this is really... It's frustrating. And yeah, it will hurt the Tigers because their hitting, as Alex said, has been very inconsistent. And when you lose a guy like Johnny Peralta, mm-hmm. I mean, that's really... really going to hurt them. But the thing is, when you look at the Tigers, they're looking on the positive end of things. I mean, they were, I believe, the only team for some weeks to have like six batters batting over 300. I mean, so even though it's inconsistent, when they are hitting, they are hitting. They are hitting.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It's feast or famine. They're either right. putting up zero or 10 runs. And, right. you know, it's sooner or later, I think that'll start to even out. But as far as the Peralta Biogenesis thing, from everything that we're hearing, if there's more names, we might be lucky if it's only Johnny Peralta. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but, I mean, it seems like that might be the case.
Very true.
So, yeah, right. if it's just Johnny, you know, you obviously take the loss, but there's not a lot you can do because, I mean,
right.
the
now,
damage
guys,
is done.
Let's say Johnny Peralta does get suspended for 50 games. Do you go and trade for a shortstop? Do you think relief is more of the concern for them?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think. I don't know if they even have enough money in the cap to try and get a at least an average 200 shortstop.
Right.
And I think some of that think will be helped alleviated when Curtis Granderson comes back into the lineup and tries to even that up with his hitting at the leadoff spot. So I think that will help just a little bit. Obviously, you're losing a lot if we do lose Peralta.
Yeah. Well, we are losing a lot if we do lose him. But I don't know about if we do trade him. I mean, who we're gonna get? That's the thing. I don't know. As far as the cat room goes, I haven't even really looked at that yet. I right now, the whole steroid thing has me so clouded. That's really the only thing right. I've been focused on. I haven't really been thinking if he leaves, what'll happen, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see. Time is running out. Okay, real quick. Reflection Fridays. We're going to have to really move on this Reflection Fridays. Matt, go ahead, man.
I'm going to blow through this. Favorite moment of the week, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. That was an awesome interview yesterday.
Great.
Lug Nuts radio announcer. He was very informative. And then on another note, the French Open, I'm so glad Nadal just beat Djokovic in 5 sets. So hopefully I will be in line to get some points in this pick'em thing because I am really struggling and I'm tired of being in last place. So
yes,
those are my moments.
I chose Djokovic too. And actually, that screwed up my ESPN streak for cash too, man, because I chose...
double whammy.
Yeah, that's a double whammy for me, man. But all right, for me, this whole week, for me, that when I look at it, a lot happened, but the whole Biogenesis thing, I keep thinking about it because I hate to see the game of baseball just constantly be corrupted by steroids, and it's just one of those things. It could be the biggest PED scandal in the history of sports. It just really hurts for me to see that.
Yeah.
So that's what really stuck out. I can't stop. Every day I keep thinking about it and just shaking my head, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, what are you watching this weekend? What's on the tube, man?
I might go to the movies and see The Internship. Not sure yet.
Mm-hmm. Over The Purge.
Yes. Purge, I don't really care.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't look all that interesting to me.
Really? It's a lot of hype over that movie. Yeah. It looks kind of cool.
I don't know.
It looks kind of cool.
I don't know. I just saw the trailer. I was like, I just don't care.
Gotcha. All right.
Different strokes. All right. For me, TV, Game of Thrones season finale. I'm sure if you're out there and you have the internet, maybe you've heard of it. You've probably heard all about last week's episode because people died in pretty horrifying ways. It was shocking. I just sat there numb on my couch for a half hour.
People died in pretty horrifying ways.
But we're getting back. There's going to be some reflection in the season finale, I think. So more good stuff for Game of Thrones. It's the last time I can talk about it, so I'm going to... pump it up as much as I can.
This is the series finale?
Season
finale.
3. Don't worry.
I got to catch up because I know Game of Thrones is unbelievable. I've been hearing about it. A lot of my fraternity brothers watching. I need to get involved and watch it because I heard it's unbelievable.
It's
for
intense.
Me, I'm looking at this weekend. I can't really think of anything else on. So I'm a movie guy. I'm going to see The Purge. I'm going to go against Mike. I think The Purge looked very interesting to me. Just one night of just violence and just go out there and do whatever you want. That sounds kind of crazy. Yeah. So we'll see. I'm going to read the reviews first, going Rotten Tomatoes. But all right, guys, fun show. Before we leave, give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, our production assistants, my intern, Mike Corey, along with my engineer, Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Joshua and Kelsey Miller, educating us on the world of CrossFit. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and have a fantastic weekend. See you Monday. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.